Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leadership Lessons. I'm Pastor Adam. So glad that you're with us today on the podcast. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you and help you, and especially if you are a leader currently, or you're hoping to be one, or you're working on just your leadership skills. I really believe today's podcast will help you. You know, the title of this podcast is Leadership Lessons. And reason is because I believe I want to use this platform to focus on continuing to train and teach leaders. That's a big part of what my calling is for. And while I serve as a pastor, I also serve as a governing apostle over other ministers and ministries. And a big part of what I enjoy and I love to do is just train and teach leaders, helping people just become better leaders. And so that's why I like to use this podcast to do just that, and to help people become a better version of themselves, to help you be able to lead people more effectively and efficiently. And so that's what my goal is today. I know sometimes on the podcast I share just a word of encouragement or some other message to you, just teaching or whatnot. But I do want to go back to the real purpose of this podcast, and that is to train and teach leaders. And so I'm going to get in today and share with you some attributes of a leader. But before I do that, let me just share with you the philosophy of true leadership first. All right, there are just three things that I really want to just share with you, the philosophy of what a true leader is. Number one, true leadership is not finding something to live for, but something to die for. All right. True leadership is not finding something to live for, but something to die for. Number two, true leadership is finding a human cause worth sacrificing yourself for. That's really powerful. True leadership is finding a human cause worth sacrificing yourself for. And number three, true leadership is discovering the problem you were born to solve and pursue it with all of your heart. You see, I really believe that all of us, each of us, even we say this in business, and before I got into ministry, I was in business school and economics and all of that. And I really believe, and for anyone who wants to start a business, anyone who is in the business world in any way, we always hear, and we need to, people in business need to first understand they were born to solve a problem. If you ever watch the show Shark Tank, that's one of the things even they tell you, is that you need to understand and really find out what it is that you love, where your passion lies, and then find a problem to solve. Some of the people who have made the most money in business solved a simple problem, you know, whether it's a goofy kitchen sponge or some of those as seen on TV items, you know, they've made a lot of money and had great success just solving a problem. The same principle is true in leadership, all right? Because I say that it's important for you to understand that you were born to solve a problem. You need to know that. As a leader, you were born to solve a problem. And it's important because it's where you get your self-discovery from, all right? It is where you get your self-discovery from. Because God created nothing that does not serve a purpose. Everything God created serves a purpose, all right? Everything that exists in nature that was created by God serves a purpose, all right? You know, mountains themselves, they create valleys, and valleys allow rain to come down to create a river, and the river brings water to homes and cities, you know? So you have to think about that. Just as everything in this world is created with a purpose, everyone is created with a purpose. Everything was created to solve a problem. Even the Bible says in 2 Chronicles that you are much more than this, right? In 2 Chronicles 25:9, it says the Lord is able to give you much more than this, all right? No one, I really believe, no one came to earth without an assignment that they are supposed to fulfill, all right? We all have an assignment. You came to earth because there was something God needed done that made you necessary. Oh, hallelujah. Just think about that for a moment. Just think about how awesome it is that you and I serve a God our mighty Heavenly Father. And He sent you to this earth. You were born into this world with an assignment and something that you were supposed to fulfill. That's powerful. You came to earth because there was something God needed done that made you and I necessary. That's awesome, you know? That's really awesome. You know, I could go on and on, but I won't. I want to get on to the assignment of today. And that is, I said I was going to share with you just six attributes of leaders. All right. Six attributes of leaders. And number one, the first attribute of a leader is a belief in oneself. A belief in oneself. You see, all great leaders, let me put it this way, all great leaders have an affair with themselves. They believe in themselves. All right. Now it can be dangerous because a person with self-belief doesn't need your encouragement. It delivers them from the people they are helping. Now, that's really important because I find that there can be real issues and real problems with people who need other people and their encouragement. What is necessary for you and I to be a successful leader, one of the greatest attributes of a leader is this number one, a belief in oneself. And while it can be dangerous, because a person with self-belief doesn't need others' encouragement, what it does do is it delivers you and I from people, the people we are helping. We don't need their approval. We don't need their affirmation. Let me put it this way. An example, Jesus continued doing what he did without the praises and encouragement of men. He just did it. Even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of a lot of people disagreeing, right? In the parable, Jesus taught different groups of people and how they respond, right? That's what he did. And one of the parables, he says, one group is like a rock, right? He referred to people. He said, some people are like a rock. You can't help them, all right? What you put on, it just rolls right off. Then he says, other groups is like thin soil. They get excited about everything, and then they do nothing, all right? And then he said, they have a little bit of soil. All right, they get excited about what they receive, but you know, when the pressures of life come and opinions of people, they get choked up and forget what you taught them. And then he said some people are like deep soil. They take it in, they grow, and they bear fruit. But see, the others didn't make it. The reason the others didn't make it is because they did not have roots in themselves. Right? The Bible says in Matthew 13:20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who bears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. You see, what he's saying is they failed because they did not root in themselves. If you put your root in everyone else, you depend on them to live. This is why it's important as a leader that you lead without the approval of people. You lead without their affirmation. You lead whether even if all of them disagree with you. All right. That's an important attribute of a leader. If you're going to be a leader, you must get delivered from the approval and the need of positive feedback from people, their approval. You need to be rooted in you. You need to be rooted in what you are hearing, what you are seeing, what you are believing God to be speaking to you. All right. Before I ever make a decision or before I lead this ministry into a direction, we recently moved into another building and we were in a building and we had already been given a school building, which was to be our future church and still will be. But we were given a third building and I had to make a decision because we were putting a lot of money out for property. And I had to make a decision. Lord, what do you want us to do? And I made a decision to leave the one building. All right. And liquidate that. And move into the newest building while we still remodel the school because of the hundreds of thousands of dollars that school takes. I had to know and be able to make that decision on my own, be confident in that decision, lead these people, and then share with the vision with the congregation and know it, and be able to do that without the approval, without necessarily all the agreement by just knowing. I had to believe in what I had heard from God, what I saw from God, and believe in the vision above all else, knowing that some people will and will likely disagree. Because see, the root of the tree is the source of its life. Your roots, even in yourself, it is the source of your life. If your roots are spread all over the place, you have to hope the place is successful. The places better have water or else you're going to die. This is why you've got to make sure you have roots, and you got to make sure that you are rooted and grounded. Absolutely. See, because Jesus was saying in the word, get root in yourself, just in case people withdraw their water. Right? In other words, he's saying find self-belief. Let me tell you something. If you base your belief, if you base your confidence as a leader, if you base your spirituality on people, sometimes they will withdraw their water. And when they withdraw your water, my friend, you can be in trouble. You can be in a real season of depression and discouragement. So you have to have this first attribute, which is a belief in oneself. Hallelujah. Now, that in itself is a lot. We could get into some real depth. And maybe in another podcast, I'll come back and really teach that down and break that down, more of a belief in yourself. But I want to move on for the sake of today's podcast to number two, a passion for the job. Number two, the second attribute is a passion for the job. Leaders have a passion for what they're doing. All right, passion has to do with an internal motivation rather than external motivation. All right, a leader's passion is internally motivated by conviction. And therefore, we're not afraid of failure because our capacity to start again is on the inside. That's a mark of a real leader. That's a real attribute of a leader right there, is that we are motivated internally. I don't need a large crowd to be motivated, or I don't need all of the stars to line up for me to be motivated. The mark of a real leader, an attribute of a real leader, is someone who could be motivated internally. Crowd sizes don't matter. People agreeing with them doesn't matter. Money in the account doesn't matter. They don't need external things to line up. All right. Leaders are leaders because they are not afraid to fail. All right. They believe, their belief is not in other people. It's in themselves. This is why number one is so important. You've got to believe in yourself above all else. All right. You got to, because leaders are their own raw material. They believe they have what it takes to do what they're dreaming. It doesn't mean that we don't need help. It doesn't mean that we're not going to connect with people that have other gifts and talents that we can utilize and that we need. But we know, all right, a real leader that can be used and used effectively and be successful knows that, in essence, they have the raw material. All right. They have what is needed to get things accomplished. I heard a pastor speak about when they met President Trump. Before he was president, of course. They were, I think, at his golf club or something, and he was introduced, and he remembered a lesson he learned years ago, that when you're in the presence of someone successful, don't talk about yourself where you've been or what you've done. But instead, when you're in the presence of someone successful, ask questions. Because, for example, in my mind, if I was to meet the president or any president, all right, I don't need to talk about myself or what I've done or where I've been, because in comparison, I've done nothing, right? But instead, I have to keep in mind that in reality and compared to them, I'm broke, right? I need to find out what made them successful. I need to find out how they got where they were. So that the pastor, he asked him what made him successful in real estate, and the president said, failure. He said, you must become bankrupt before you become successful, all right? He was saying, if you're not going to become great in your area of gifting, you must lose everything at one point first, right? You lose everything because God is qualifying you for greatness. It's hard to manage a lot. It's hard to manage wealth when you don't know what to do with very little. See, the president had passion for the job, and it caused him to keep going. I believe that's part of why he's president, that he had passion to do what he did in the business world, and that passion led him to the presidency, right? Now, I'm using that as an example. Please, maybe you don't support him. Maybe you don't agree with him. I'm just using him as an example because of his previous experience and success. Now, number three, the third attribute is a love for people. If you're going to be a leader, one of the attributes you need is a love for people. Because if you don't like people, don't lead them. You have to love people. And I've found there's a lot of people who don't like people and they're trying to lead them. But ministers who don't like people have guards all around them. You know, they're kind of untouchable ones. You can't get near them to get prayer. You can't talk to them. You can't call them. None of those things. To love people, you have to discover who you are and who they are. Right? When you discover that you are not the image of God and that they are the image of God, you won't fall in love with people. You listen to what I said. When you discover that you are the image of God and they are the image of God, you will fall in love with people. Because you can't love yourself and hate others if you understand you and them are made in the image of God. That's a real important principle that I think a lot of leaders miss, is we somehow think that we're made in the image of God and they're not. And we kind of look at ourselves and then don't see similarities in them like we do in us. All right, because you can't love God and hate those made in his image. You have to love people because sometimes they are not lovable. That's true. Sometimes the people we lead are not lovable, but most of the time the people you are leading aren't lovable. They're difficult to love. But the Bible says Jesus chose to love you while you were yet a sinner in Romans 5:8. Even you and I, before we came to Christ, sometimes you and I have ugly moments. Even you and I have moments where we're difficult to love. We're unlovable. But we've got to, part of being a leader is to stop, we have to have a love for people and love them in those moments of them being unlovable. Love them in the difficult moments. Number four, leaders must have a capacity for aloneness. All right. What do I mean by that? You need to get used to being alone. Notice I didn't say loneliness. Because loneliness is a sign you don't love yourself. That's a really important point right there. A person that loves themselves loves to be by themselves because they love the company. You know, there's a sign to you that you love yourself if you can enjoy being alone with yourself. And if you enjoy being alone with yourself, then you're not lonely. But if you get lonely when you have those evenings alone or those days alone, it's because you don't love yourself enough to enjoy being alone with you. Being alone might mean you're the only person who believes what you believe. Right? You need to know that. Sometimes you and I have a vision, and we are the only person who can see it. We're the only person that can believe it. We're the only person who can, you know, see it in its fullness. Because every vision begins with only one believer, and that's you. As a leader, the vision for this ministry began with me believing it, me seeing it. I was the only one until I began to share the vision. Remember, the Bible says Abraham told his wife they were going to have a baby. The Bible says she laughed, and her spouse, your spouse doesn't even believe it at first, right? Imagine that, you know. But true leaders don't look for company all the time. All right, leaders live a very alone life. That's why you need to be okay with alone time, right? Think about it this way. Eagles never flock. That's why they're the king of the birds, right? You always see an eagle flying one at a time. Pigeons flock. Ducks flock. But eagles are always alone. Leaders have to be used to be alone. We have to get used to being alone. Hallelujah. You know, politicians have to understand that people of their own circle won't understand them, and they will have to stand alone. That's part of being a leader. And yet so many times I watch on Capitol Hill, and you watch the news and you watch the political circles, and so many of them are afraid to stand alone, and they only come out and make a statement when they have a few people standing with them, even if it's just one other person. Because often they're so cowardly, they're afraid to stand alone. But part of being a leader means that sometimes we have to stand alone, especially if we're casting out vision at first. Your job is to sell the vision to people. Don't forget it and don't quit it. If you believe it, sell it. Whatever the vision is you have, believe it and sell it to people, my friend. Get it out there. Speak about it. Talk about it. Hallelujah. Number five. Leaders have a satisfaction for the success of others. All right. Leaders are not jealous of the success of other people. Leaders, true leaders, are self-confident in their own security. They can enjoy other people's success. You see, a true leader gets joy when he greets someone better than himself. You know, Jesus said, "It is better for you that I move out of the way, because you will do greater works." That's what Jesus said about you and I. He said, "You will do greater works, will you do?" Jesus didn't want to stop their greatness, so we knew it was time to move aside. True leaders do not try to hinder other people's greatness. Right? They don't try to hinder other people's greatness or even try to take credit for it. They step back and they know the time to step back. You know, you and I could read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You know, I'll give you that as homework. Because John says that it is my pleasure and my joy that my children walk in truth. And I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. You know, sometimes as a leader, we just need to know when to step out of the way and let someone else have some success. Hallelujah. And number 6, this is going to be a briefer podcast than some of my others. But number 6, a leader has a commitment to the betterment of humanity. That's true. A real attribute of a leader is that we have a commitment to the betterment of humanity. True leaders want humanity to advance. The vision of this church, the vision I have for other leaders, what I look for in people that I want to bring on my leadership team right now, even, you know, I'm in a position where I need my leadership team to grow. And I'm praying, God, send leaders. God, send people. God, raise up people that are here already. Is that I look for people who want humanity to advance. Right? Think about great leaders in history had public ambition, not a personal ambition. You know, look in the Word of God. Look what Moses and Joshua went through for the people. I mean, wow. They had a commitment to seeing humanity bettered. Daniel prayed that the people would be delivered from slavery in Babylon. David faced Goliath because what the giant was doing to his people and his God. You know, look over even our history and our nation. Look at Martin Luther King Jr. endured. You know, it was because he wanted there to be a betterment of humanity, of all humanity, right? He didn't want it to be one-sided. He didn't want to see segregation. He didn't want to see division. And some people held back while others were moving ahead. But he did what he did and ultimately lost his life for the betterment of humanity. Because all great leaders focus on humanity, not their own pocketbooks. What we do in this ministry, what you are called to do in ministry, is about all of humanity, not your personal checkbook. Well, yes, that comes with it. You know, I believe that as we're obedient and we do what we love to do and we follow our passion and we follow what God has for us, yes, I believe God takes care of us. His word says, I just read it, that he desires above all things that you prosper and you be in good health. That's part of it. But our checkbook is not what drives us. That comes with it. But what should drive you and I is a commitment to better all of humanity. That's the truth, my friend. That's the truth. And that are the 6 attributes of great leaders. You know, I wanted to keep it quick today because sometimes I think our time is just too valuable and we don't always have enough of it to share and go in the depths. And you don't have a lot of time as a leader, but sometimes it's better just to have these quick podcasts where you can take 20 minutes or 25 minutes of your day and just listen to some word to help you become a better leader. And that's the purpose of today's podcast. I have a whole lot of great things lined up for you in the coming weeks on our podcast, and I believe it'll bless you and help you. Look forward to sharing them with you. Let me just say to you, if you've just catching this for the first time, that you can hear more of our Leadership Lesson podcast. You can visit our website at freshfirechurch.net. Again, that is freshfirechurch.net. If you click on our media tab, you'll see a photo there as a podcast. Within that photo is a link. If you click the photo, it'll take you to our podcast page where you can hear all of my podcasts. They're all free. Some of them are for leadership. Others are just words of encouragement, messages that I know will bless and help you. So make sure you do that. Also, while you're at the website, you can click on our Prayer Center tab and submit your prayer requests. There's also a donation tab where you can give to support the ministry should you desire. And also links to my Facebook page, our church's Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram. Connect with us, follow us, and just be encouraged on a daily basis from the Word of God nuggets from messages that I share, and sometimes even a laugh. And so make sure you do all of that just by going to our website at freshfirechurch.net. I know it'll be a blessing to you and a help. We're working on updating the website right now. I'm giving it a fresh look. And then we got to work on our mobile site as well. So if you're checking out the website on your smartphone, be patient with us. You may not see things like you would if you're on a laptop or computer, but we're working on it. We're getting to it, okay? So I thank you for your patience and your support. Friends, we love you. We're always praying for our listeners and our partners and those of you that connect with us all the time. And so we appreciate you so much. Feel free to send us an email, and just while you're on the website, click contact us and let us know what you think or that the podcast blessed you or helped you. I love getting feedback from all of you, and we look forward to hearing from you. But friends, we love you. We're praying for you. Until next time, my friend, I pray the fire of God consumes your life. Goodbye, friends.